Good morning.
Good morning.
It was indeed a great day yesterday here. For those that were able to make it out, we really appreciated the work God did in our midst yesterday. And it was a great meeting all of you and just pray for much good fruit from all of that. But I just want to, real quick, on behalf of Kathy, and I thank, of course, Pastor Chris and Mary and all of you. We've received so much hospitality and love. Great place you got here, great people, and we were much blessed to come be a part of this. I know that I mentioned this yesterday, but if you weren't here, I have sat in your seat before. I don't mean literally, but I mean, I have been in that place of having someone come speak that you're thinking, who is this guy? You know what? And so it takes a while maybe to get used to someone and their style and all. Pastor Chris has earned a place in your life. You've attended here for a while, and of course, you've learned that you can trust him and all, and hopefully you know you can trust me, but I'm just saying, you may not know who I am, but I pray, Lord, overcome any newness to all this and speak to us. Just real quick, I do want to mention my wife, Kathy, and many of you ladies have had, Kathy's been up here to share before, and you know her. She has loved me and put up with me for almost 49 years now, and much blessed for that. We have two grown children, a son and a daughter, and six grandkids who are definitely lovers of our lives and love doing things with the grandkids and all. For years, I used to hear Pastor Chuck talk about his grandkids, and I go, oh, what's the big deal? Then I had a grandkid, and I found out how great that is. So God is good. But that's a little bit. And as Chris just mentioned, had the privilege for a while of being on staff at Calvary Costa Mesa. And part of many things I did down there was I did teach at the School of Ministry. And so that's where I met Pastor Chris and all, and great to see just them again and see the fellowship here, what God's doing. When I prepare for something like this, as any speaker would do, as any pastor, you seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me share? You know this fellowship. I don't know you well. The Lord knows you. And so I say, Lord, what would you have us to think about this morning, to focus on? And I had two or three things I was looking at, considering, but I really felt the Lord lead me to this. And I've discovered when God does that, he's got a purpose. There's something he wants to do in maybe one or more than one of our lives this morning. So I pray he'll find us open to that. We can have a lot going on in our lives. That's not a newsflash. There's so much that competes for our attention, so many pressures that could come upon us, so many things going on. So I'm making a statement right now. It's going to sound kind of odd. By the time we're through, maybe you'll hear it. But for all the things you brought in here today, all the things going on, be my prayer that by the time we're through, that there might indeed be some people that leave here with less than they brought in. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a moment. We're going to actually begin in the Old Testament. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18. Last night at dinner, Pastor Chris asked me, what are you sharing from? And I said, well, it's going to be out of 1 Samuel 18. And Chris is going, what can you get from? You're trying to guess that. We'll see if you got that figured out. But again, believing God has something for us. Now I'm just going to read our focus verses for a moment, then we'll expand and go from there. But I'm going to start in verse 10. We're in 1 Samuel 18, verse 10. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times. But there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. This morning, we have a very challenging portion of scripture before us. Saul, the first king of Israel, by this point, he has reached the point of throwing spears at David. I hope that provokes the question right away, whether you're familiar with the text or not. I hope it provokes the question, what's that about? Why? Why would the king of Israel be throwing spears at David? What brought Saul so low as to be throwing spears at somebody? But not just that. The next question should be, and what's David going to do about it? What's David going to do with spears that are thrown at him? He's got some spears being chucked at him. What's he going to do with it? This morning, as we consider Saul and David, I pray that God would help us see something. And again, might seem abstract right now. Hopefully, the Lord will apply it as we go along. But as we think about Saul and David here, may the Lord help us see, is there a spear in our hand? I've called our time, the spear in my hand. Let's pray. Father, knowing that you know every one of us, Lord, knowing that you brush aside all the outside stuff and you deal with us, these hearts of ours, you love, you have great compassion for every one of us, all of us known by you, you see us. Lord, there's something you want to do. Help us, Lord, help us not just to come to church this morning, help us really come to you, be open to you, to work in our midst this morning. By the time we're through, Lord, may you've had your way in this place, in this time, in us. Speak now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture these two men that now, in our text, face one another. You could hardly find two different guys that were different. First of all, I want to talk about Saul. Again, he was the first king of Israel, but he was a total failure. As far back as 1 Samuel 13, go ahead and, if you wouldn't put that scripture up for me. In 1 Samuel 13, 14, he's giving me signals up there, I don't know. Between having the sound booth there and a loft, you guys got a loft. We don't have a loft at our home church. This is great. It's like a balcony seating. It's all kinds of good stuff going on here. But how are we doing? Not happening? Not happening thing? Well, I can certainly read it. And if it comes up, great. In 1 Samuel 13, matter of fact, that's not that far back. Turn a couple pages to your left. Go to 1 Samuel 13, 14. 1 Samuel 13, 14. We're just setting the stage. We're getting to know some things about Saul here. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you. Because of Saul's disobedience to God, just couldn't trust God. We read these kind of scriptures where the Lord is now letting Saul know a change is coming. If you move forward to chapter 15, verse 26, but Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who's better than you. And that one, of course, is David. So I've just read a couple of verses to show what happened. The Lord was declaring to Saul, Saul, you disobedient, you couldn't trust me. I'm taking the kingdom away from you. Just as you just tore the prophet's robe, I'm tearing the kingdom away from you. And I'm looking for someone else. And of course, he found that one in David. Chapter 16 reveals that God had found the man after God's own heart in David. So now they face each other. You go back to the chapter 18 text. So now you have Saul, first king, but because of disobedience and all, he's being rejected. He's going to be removed from being king. And God went looking for a man after his own heart and found that man in David. They're now facing each other. The one who wouldn't trust God, the one who does. The one who just was disobedient, the other one had this heart for God. Look at the verse 11 again. They're facing each other. Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence. So now we read about the spear in the wall. Saul falling so low that he gets to the point where he's throwing spears. And I want you to picture the scene now. There's the spear stuck in the wall. And David takes off. This morning, know this, that what we're about to look at is a lot. It's about a lot more than spears. It's going to be about hearts. Let's set the stage a little bit. Go back to verse 5. Right, 1 Samuel 18 still. Go back to verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women who had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. That's not going to go over too good. Then Saul was very angry. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s. And to me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul sees in David the probable successor to the throne, and Saul is threatened by it. He sees things coming to pass, and what's his response to it? He becomes jealous. He becomes jealous. Jealousy is wanting the other guy's plan over our own, believing somehow God has a better plan for them than he has for us. And so he's possessed by jealousy, but not just is he jealous. Look down at verse 12. We haven't read that yet. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he departed from Saul. So as Saul sits there, as we consider Saul this morning, he is a picture of what jealousy and fear and envy and insecurity and anger, pride, he's a picture of what those things can do to a person. Sometimes they creep in very subtly. Sometimes we've carried them around for a long time. But he becomes a representative of what jealousy and fear and envy and all can do to someone. A question to consider. As you sit here this morning, what choices have you made to the events in your life? What of all the things you've been through, experienced, maybe even now going through, what have they led you to? What conclusions have you come to as you sit here? What did you bring in here this morning? Is there a chance that we might be holding on to, in our own form, some envy, some jealousy, some resentment towards anybody this morning? Perhaps this morning, if you're single, you are jealous of those who are married. Having done a lot of marriage counseling, I suspect there may be some who are married and are jealous of those who are single. Perhaps this morning you're jealous, envious, and I know those are harsh words. You go, oh, no, no, it's not that bad. But let's let the Lord show us something this morning. Perhaps this morning you're jealous of somebody's job. Maybe you're jealous of their career. Oh, if I just had what they had. Perhaps this morning you are angry about a promotion that the other person got and you didn't. Envious that they made the sale, you didn't. There's so many things that can cause that kind of reaction. Maybe you're jealous of somebody's possessions. They've got the big house on the hill. They've got the big car. They don't seem to be in the financial struggle that you're in. All those things potentially can get us wondering about God's faithfulness and his plan for us and what's going on. And we can subtly begin to wish we were them, wish we had their situation. We become jealous. We can become envious. We can become angry about the situation. Now let's see where Saul's jealousy and his fear lead him to. We read it again. It says it happened, verse 10, on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times. But there was a spear in the king's hand. Now I want you to picture Saul sitting there. Remember what I learned? He began a while back to start watching David. He's after my throne. He's going to replace me. And he's got this spear. And his emotions, his fear, his anger, jealousy, gets so strong that he just throws it at him. Just chucks it at David. David, prepared to be nimble on his feet, gets out of the way. The spear hits the wall. He casts the spear. I'll pin David to the wall. This morning, again, we face a very important question, but a great opportunity. Saul chose to react to the circumstances of his life with envy, with fear, with jealousy, with anger. And they lead him to the point where he picks up a spear and throws it at David. Saul reacted to the events of his life by becoming a spear thrower. This morning, let the Lord speak to our hearts. Again, he led me to set this before us. It's strong and all, but it has a great opportunity for us coming up here. But let the Lord speak to us. Is there any chance that we have become spear throwers in any way? Yesterday here at our gathering, we looked at the church and the world. And we saw one great theme running through John 17, the Lord's Prayer for us, was his desire for unity in the body, oneness in the body. We looked at how he says it's in oneness that God works in us and through us, personally, but also as a church body collectively. So it makes sense that the enemy tries to throw a wrench in the gears, try to break unity, try to cause reasons of division. And the great challenge is, do we fall for him? Have we become a spear thrower in any way? How have we reacted to the circumstances of our lives? Go further, personalize it, and let the Lord speak to us. Is there anybody here that's perfect? Anybody? I want to make sure I'm speaking with the right group. Apparently I am, because I know, sure, I'm not perfect. We're all under construction. And I often tell people, you know what, if you haven't been convicted in a while, something's wrong. Because conviction is God's way of saying, he lovingly puts his finger on something and saying, I want to deal with that. He's not out to get me. He wants to heal and help me grow and know him better. And that means sometimes putting his fingers. I remember a while back, Kathy told me she met with a lady, and the lady said, you know, and she mentioned something the Lord had healed in her life. And she was kind of young, just starting out in her walk with the Lord. But she mentioned this, and the lady goes, gosh, when he's done with that, I will have arrived. I'll be done. He'll be through with me. And we're going, you just started. There's this whole lifetime process. This morning, maybe it's in love when he says, I want to put my finger on something. May it in any of us. We should be fair game. Show me, Lord, because I know when it's from you. Well, the flesh might hate it, but it'll be good stuff. And so that's the question right now. Personalize it. Is there any possibility that you sit here and have reacted to something now or something in the past with jealousy? If truth be told, there's an element of you that you envy that person. You have a fear of that person. You wish you were as popular as them, or whatever it might be. If I just had their job, their income. See, what choices have we made in light of what we go through? So look close at that. Is there any chance this morning that there's an element for any of us of a resentment? God wants to heal it. Am I bitter in any way, Lord, bitter about something that was done to me? Am I resentful of their circumstances? The Lord wants to heal it. And I pray it'll be a healing morning for anybody who might need to receive of this. Because I want you to sense now, look at your hand. And I don't mean necessarily look at your literal hand, but as a metaphor, look at the hand of your heart, so to speak. Look closely and see if there might not be a spear in the hand of your heart. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about those things you throw at your mate, at your coworkers, at your boss, at other believers, that guy at church, that group you used to be a part of, or just whatever it is. That thing that you kind of throw at them. I don't throw any spears. Well, in this example, the spear would be something like, we can find ourselves throwing spears of hurtful words at our mate. We can find ourselves throwing spears of gossip about people. Oh, I was just praying. I was just telling people we need to pray. Have you heard? Let's pray about this. And all of a sudden everybody's talking. We can throw spears of attacking them, cutting down their credibility, all these different ways we throw spears, particularly in the body. Do we secretly, down deep, delight another struggle? Do we say, oh, serves them right. I knew that would happen. That's just like them. Think about a moment. Really, what is jealousy? Again, jealousy is basically, it's made up of a lack of trust in God. Because again, if we're jealous, we don't really believe that God has the best plan for us. Our jealousy says that the other person's plan is better. I want their plan. I want their circumstances. Gosh, look how great their kids are. Mine are so out of control. All these things we come up with, but down deep, it's this saying, it's challenging, it's questioning, Lord, is this the best plan? I'd rather have their plan. I get to work with a lot of people in counseling. One reason I got to be part of the staff down there in teaching counseling back when Chris was going through that and all. And it's a heart that I have for meeting people. I love getting in the trenches with people and couples and helping them work through things they've gone through and troubles they might be experiencing all. I love all that. And so I guess that's why I tend to come to scripture like I am this morning. The believing God wants to take it and make it not theory and not just intellectual, but he's aiming at the heart. And he's got some things he wants to do in all that. But oftentimes there's that element of wondering, is that God really got the best for me? Sure doesn't seem like it. And we could start wishing we had the other guy's situation. And on Sunday mornings when I'm standing up there, because you can come to church sometimes and think, you know what? Am I the only one that's lonely? Am I the only one that doesn't feel like I fit in sometimes? Am I the only one that's struggling? Am I the only one that sometimes has anxiety or fear? Am I the only one that maybe has resentment sometimes or wishing I could trade places? We think everybody's got it together. Gosh, look at them. They're still together. Go home with them for a while. And we'll see, we're all got things going on. We're all under construction. We've all got things he could put his finger on. And he wants to. But the danger is we don't know that. Or we think, oh no. And there becomes that jealousy that we can start having. And because of it, we start throwing spears, again, of criticism and judging and gossip and things like that. And on the heels of jealousy typically comes covetousness. And that's definitely about our heart. That's not about the other guys. That's about us. So focused on the other guy's plan that we can't enjoy ours. You hear me? So focused on what they have or don't have, what I have to put up, so focused on their plan that we can't enjoy God's plan for us. What a ripoff it is to have these spears, as we'll see. Is it working by any chance yet? Or it's not going to be happening? Want to give it a try? Pull up the John 21 text, if you would. Those are all the things we would have been reading a minute ago. John, there we go. Let's just read that just for a moment. Remind ourselves of it. It's well known. The Lord, after his resurrection, speaking to Peter, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Go ahead. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God, what death Peter would glorify God. But when he had spoken this, he said to him, Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Go ahead and do that next one for me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the other guy, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, saying him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about him? Lord, you told me this, how I'm going to die, and later on I'll be led around, and we know later on Peter's crucified upside down and all, but he says, what about him? And what do we see? What's say next? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And then coming back to that, doesn't it? Do we trust his follow me to each of us? Do I really believe he's got that best plan for me? My reaction is to say a whole lot about that. Not what I say, but the attitude I have when I get up in the morning. And I go through the day and look at what others have, what they're going through, and the seeming blessings they experience and all. Lord, what about him? And the Lord, in essence, says, like he said to Peter, you follow me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing for you. I know what I'm doing. But Lord, I know what I'm doing. This morning, if you have received Christ as Savior, you trust him right now for your salvation. Eternity rests upon the fact that you take him at his word. We're not saved because we feel like it. We're saved because he declares it, that if we will believe, heart receive, heart believe, we are saved. You're headed to heaven. And you trust him. We trust him for salvation. Let's make sure we trust him for this pilgrim's journey to get there. If I can trust him for eternity, Lord, help me trust you for today. And help me trust you for this plan. Help me trust you in these circumstances. I've found in my life, so often the Lord shows me things that maybe he showed me, but at deeper levels. You know, it's like the Lord, it's like scriptures. You ever read a scripture, you maybe know it, and you go, whoa, and you see something deeper. It's like all of a sudden you're ready to go deeper, and he takes you deeper. And there's layers all the time. I used to say the example like an artichoke, but people go, yuck. So we'll say like a rose, peeling back the rose petals. There's always something more in all this. In my very journey, I can trust him for that. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what he looks for in me. Will you just trust me in it? Will you follow me? Now, we've talked about Saul. As you hold that thought, I want us to look at all this from the other side of the spear, so to speak. I want to look at this in light of David's response. We've considered if perhaps we have become spear throwers like Saul in some way, that we have thrown gossip and hurtful comments and all kinds of things that would be spears we're throwing at people in reaction to the things that have happened to us. But now consider this. What does David do when the spear is thrown at him? Because we will sometimes find ourselves on David's side of the equation, won't we? Is there really anybody here who's never had a spear thrown at them in this regard? Is there anybody here who never had somebody gossip, speak harmfully, speak negatively about you, express a jealousy, an anger, a fear towards you? We've all had people hurt us and let us down and all those things that come with his life's journey. What does David do on the receiving end? What does he do when the spear is thrown at him? It's rhetorical, don't answer out loud, but what would you do? Take yourself back there. What would you do if you were David? You're playing some music, trying to calm the king down. He's really upset. All of a sudden, he throws a spear at you. Now, boom. The spear has just hit the wall. Now, freeze frame right there. Spear hits the wall. We talked about what it might be to be like the spear thrower. But now you're on the receiving end. It's just hit the wall. What do you do? What do we do with spears thrown at us? What have you done with them? See, that's really the question. What do I do now when someone throws a spear at me? Pastor, people aren't throwing spears at me. I haven't seen one all day. Are you sure? What about those spears of harsh words, critical comments, put downs, rejections that come our way? What about the spears of lies and threats and gossip? What about the spears we encounter just because we're believers in a world that's going crazy? We see a world it's getting out of balance. We you know this. And more we're getting framed as the bad guys. What are we going to do when spears are thrown at us like that? Well, we all know what to do when someone throws a spear at us, or they tell a lie, or they gossip about us. We all know what to do with a spear. You take it out of the wall and you throw it right back at them. Right? Because they deserve it. Hey, you threw the spear first. You started this thing. You spoke about me. You told a lie. I get to throw it back. And you know what? Most people would say, yeah, right on. They agree with you. That's the right thing to do. They had it coming. It was unfair. You didn't deserve it. Give them what they gave you. Throw it right back. And the world will applaud us. They'll think that's very good. Stood up for yourself and stood up for your rights and go get them. So people agree with us. You did the right thing in returning that spear, that hurtful comment, whatever it might be. You did the right thing. Indeed, throwing the spear back will often even please others. But does it please God? Has God called us to be spear throwers? Notice what David did. He says what? He got out of there. He says, I'm not here to be necessarily a pincushion, but I'm getting out of here. He escaped from him. It says from his presence twice. And this is the last time over in chapter 19, verse 8. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now the stretching spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. He sat at his house. There it is. He's got that spear in his hand. Something to attack somebody that I am not getting along with. I am envious of them. David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Notice this. What did David do? He didn't return what he was getting. He didn't attack back. Why? Because David was a man after God's heart. And what we do with spears are going to show us our hearts. Do I do what the world says? Do I do it the way my flesh wants me to do it? Or does God have better with the things that I have faced, the things we've gone through, the thing the spear's being thrown at me? Am I going to give the world, am I going to give the other person the power of who I am, or am I going to give that power to God? I'm going to let the Lord decide who I am, or am I going to let that circumstance dictate who I am? What's going to determine my joy level during the day? What I'm really all about? The fact that you said something? The fact that someone threw a spear? Or am I going to say, God, I got to give you that. David responds, first of all, because he has a heart after God's heart. He also understood that God raises up kings and takes them down. In essence, David understood Saul is God's turf. And so is everybody else. They're God's turf. I got to worry about me. I got a beam in my eye to worry about. And so David recognizes that. He understood that Saul, in this case, was God's anointed. And David, more than once, refused to lift his hand against Saul. And every other would say, get him. It's your chance to get Saul. And he was, uh-uh. That's God's job. I'm going to respond to God in this. I'm not going to play God in it. So David responds to these spears by refusing to throw them back. Now, to that, we might say, yeah, but this is David. I mean, come on, he's in the Bible. He's one of the biggies. He has a special anointing on him. That's how he probably found the power not to throw it back. Turn over to your New Testaments, if you would, to 1 Peter. I'll give you a minute to get there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter. It's going to be somewhat near the end of your New Testament there, but go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to jump into verse 18. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. He starts out by saying, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. He's addressing a certain group of people, but the principle prevails for all of us. This is commendable because of conscience toward God if one suffers grief, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, the world, our own flesh looks at that and goes, you got to be kidding. I mean, the Lord is so, his thinking is so opposite. I mean, the Lord says things like, hang on to your life and you'll lose it, but lose your life for me and you find it. And our flesh people, what? Lose my life and find it. I mean, lose it. Hang on to it, I lose it. Lose it for you and I find it. What? But it's a spiritual truth. And when we go, when we trust him and move into that, we find it's truth. We have the same thing here. The world says, what? No. Get even. Do them under. Attack them. But when we do that, we're going to stay stuck. We're going to miss out on what God has for us. So what's he going to say? Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. It kind of sounds like we're supposed to do it. To this you're called. Jesus suffered, leaving us an example. You should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Then explains that he is the one who bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Okay, I'm not supposed to revile when I've been reviled. I'm not supposed to threaten and give back what I've gotten. Then what do I do with it? Just eat it? Just sit there and stew in it? What's he say? No. Jesus himself didn't. What's he say? But he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He took this and he gave it to God. In essence, said, God, you take care of this. I'm going to let you be in charge of me. I'm going to give you this thing. I'm going to give you this circumstance. God, you go before me. You lead me in all this. But I'm not going to give that power to what's gone on, to what's happened to me, to what was done to me, the things they're saying. You see, what Peter's saying there basically is, if I pick up the spear and throw it back, then I become like Saul. If David picks up the spear and throws it back, then we have two Sauls. But God found a different man and David. And David found a man after God's heart. So instead of throwing it back, he turns around and he says, here, God, you take the spear. I'm going to let you be in charge of me, not Saul. And angels rejoice. And God's going, yes, because that's how he sets this thing up. Because in my letting those spears find their target and buying in it, responding, I've surrendered. I've given that to people that they shouldn't have that place in my life. I'm letting that circumstance dictate who I am. And I'm wondering if this is speaking to anybody, because the Lord lead me to camp on this morning. If I throw the spear, then I become just like those out there. If we're born again, we are called to much higher purposes. We're called to live, yes, in a paradoxical way in terms of the world. But people who don't throw spears back but give them to God, they get to go deeper. They get to know him better. They start discovering this interesting spiritual truth that it's in surrendering that I win. It's when I surrender to him and let him have those things. There's nothing that comes my way that he hasn't allowed or brought, and he can handle it. A heart like David's heart is a heart that, just like Jesus says here, we give it to the Father, who committed himself to him who judges righteously. God is righteous. And you know what tells us when we get to heaven that we're going to declare that holy and true and righteous are all his ways. When we get there, you're not going to say, God, I got a bone to pick with you. When we see his glory, when we realize the transition that's occurred, when all this is behind, when this pilgrim's journey is done, it will be, amen, you do right, you do right, you deal righteously. But now we don't see clearly. We don't see the whole picture, but I don't see the whole portrait, but I can trust the painter's hands. I can trust he knows what colors to use and how to go about all this thing. Paul says in Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with God. I remember hearing someone say this years ago, and I've had to percolate in it, but I've come to see the case. In God's economy, in God's thinking, it's better to have a spear thrown at you than the one doing the throwing. You're far better being David than being Saul. The world wants you to be a Saul. Attack. Get even. But God's looking for Davids. He can do so much in a David. He's looking for that heart that says, Lord, you're in charge of me. I can't give it to others. I remember one time being part of a group where a bunch of people were speaking poor about someone. And I'm not saying whether what they were saying was maybe accurate or not. But then someone spoke up, and at the time it was so contrary to everything else that was going on around. But there's such a depth. It really rang true for me. Where the person basically said, you know what? It's better being the one that people are talking about than the one doing the talking. You're better off being the one they're talking about than being the one doing the gossiping. For, as we looked at yesterday, God says there are seven things that are abomination. One of those is those who sow discord among the brethren. It's far better being the one. It doesn't feel like it, but in God's economy, it's better being a David than being a Saul. Okay, you've been gracious, you've listened, you've been patient, but I trust you in speaking. We need to do some application. May the Holy Spirit do just that. May the Holy Spirit do some application at this point. For some of us this morning, as we sit here, maybe you realize that you have reacted like Saul. Be it something in the past, be it something right now. That truth be told, and don't run and try to hide from the Lord. Don't try to, see, we're so quick at justifying, excusing, explaining, hiding. Lord, aim over there. Pete really needs to hear this. Hey, Pete, are you listening? I hope there's not somebody named Pete. If I'm not named, I don't know you guys. Why are you calling me out? Whatever. But you know what? Right, oh, I wish so-and-so were here. Hey, are you listening? Lord, if there's anything in all this, Lord, do I have any resentment towards anybody? And those in ministry aren't exempt. There can be incredible things said and done to any of us, all of us. So this morning, did you come in here? Is there potentially a spear of resentment that you're holding in your hand? Truth be told, is there somebody or something you envy? If I could just change my circumstances. Perhaps you're bitter about something that's happened or is happening. Perhaps you've actually got to the point where you're fairly hard of heart. If truth be told, you're the same place spiritually you were 6 months ago, really, just treading water. And it's how you've adopted it to kind of be okay. But underneath, there's a hardness. There could be some bitterness. So what I'm saying is maybe now you're sitting here just realizing that you responded to your circumstances by picking up a spear and throwing it at people. Again, spears of harsh words, gossip, criticism, whatever. Somehow maybe you've taken an attitude that they're going to pay. I'm never forgiving them. They're going to pay for this. They're going to know about it. But hopefully this morning we see, you know what? That's far less than the Lord would have for me. That's not what Jesus wants for me. We can leave here this morning with less than we came in with. Less of those kind of things that are blocking the work in us individually and sometimes in us collectively. Get in the way of the unity he'd have within us. What am I saying? This morning there's some things that might need to be left here. It will be far better for it. He's calling us to leave them here. Then we see that he has better. And it hasn't worked out. It's not good that I'm hanging on to that thing. It doesn't make them pay. I'm the one paying. I'm getting ripped off by this thing. In a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to do something about this. But there's another person I believe God wants us to speak to and what he would want to speak to. Because what I've said is, first of all, perhaps you've been like Saul. You've thrown your share of spears. And you see now you need forgiveness for that. You need to quit doing that. It's not working. It's not what God would have. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. But maybe you sit here instead and you totally relate to David. The spear was thrown at you. Maybe you weren't quick enough and didn't dodge. It found its target. It hurt. Got you right in the heart. That thing was said. That action was taken towards you. Lies were spread. Whatever it might be. And now you sit here. And there's the spear. But let's use the analogy of like with David, that there's the spear in the wall. The thing was said to you or about you, about whatever, and now the spear in the wall. What will you do in David's shoes? Maybe you see right now in your own way that you have a spear in your hand and you're deciding, what am I going to do about this hurt? What am I going to do about the things that were said? What am I going to do about this stuff that was done to me or said that I've experienced? What do I do with this spear? You haven't thrown it yet. Maybe that's just this morning. You came in here, and now that I've kind of framed it in this way, you're saying, yeah, I came in here, and I have a potential spear. I haven't thrown it yet, but I sure am thinking about it. I'm wondering out what I'm supposed to do about this that's being said or done or the situation I'm in. What am I supposed to do? It seems so justified to throw it back, to attack. But down deep, you know it's not getting very good. And you know it's blocking you from all God has for you. That's probably maybe a reason why you're feeling stuck or maybe kind of dry. How can you hold God's hand very tightly when you've got a spear in your own? How can God give you all he has for you if my hand is busy grasping a spear? If I'm busy holding on to some resentment, envy, how is he going to I've heard it said that people have trouble receiving the all God has, all the Holy Spirit has for us, because we're so full of us. How do I hang on to this stuff and still receive what he would have? It's in the way. I'm a loser for hanging on to that spear. This morning, do you recognize you have a spear in your hand? Something was done, something said. Is it time to lay your spear down? Time. You've drug around long enough. Has that too much impact on you? This morning, is it time for you to give all that to Jesus? I don't know if you do this around here very often. Maybe Pastor Chris does this from time to time. Maybe never. Maybe often. But I'm going to. First of all, I'm going to ask Terry and Kim to come back up. They had said, where are you guys? There you guys go. Yeah, or maybe just Terry's going to come up. I want to invite you to do something. We're going to give you an opportunity to come lay your spear on the altar. To take an actual step. This isn't a receiving Jesus as Savior time. If you've ever done that, it all starts there. This isn't how you get saved. But it talked about what a saved life should be lived like. To free me up from all that junk I've gone through. To free me up from all the stuff that still I get thrown at me. To say, Lord, I'm not going to give that stuff control of me anymore. I want to give an opportunity to lay your spears right now. The spears that you are tempted to throw at others. The resentment, the envy you might have. Or those spears that have been thrown at you that you're holding, wondering what you're going to do with it. Should I attack back? Should I go get even? Instead, I'm going to ask you to consider, like Jesus points out to us, to commit it to him who judges righteously. Let go of the jealousy this morning. Quit wishing you had the other guy's plan. If need be, it's a good thing, not easy, but it's a good thing to seek forgiveness for envy, for anger, for gossip, for whatever the attitude might be, that's your spear this morning. Come lay it at the altar. In a moment, Terry's going to lead us through a chorus, replace him, going to strum for us here, however he's going to do it. I ask him just to share a little bit, to give us a chance to think about it, and then I'm going to ask you something really tough, to get up, come up front, and stand here, because I want to pray for you. It's going to represent, and no one knows what it represents, but God does. It's going to maybe represent that you're going to go up here just one-on-one with God. No one's going to ask you to say anything out loud about it, but it might be, Lord, forgive me for the spears I've thrown. I know I've said things to hurt people. I know I have. Even a pastor, it happens. And he's, Lord, forgive me for doing that. And you maybe set records, yeah, Lord, I've envied someone. I've been jealous of them. I've really held it against them. Lord, I'm coming up here to ask you to forgive me for the spears I've thrown. But again, there's that second group. Lord, the spears have been thrown at me, and I'm really wondering what to do with all this. Jesus, I stand in front of you. Will you say, will you hand him that situation this morning to be free of it? To be free of all the energy you're burning up over all this? Will you commit it to God? Will you come up front and say, God, this has been done. I want to get, look, God, I'm giving it to you to take care of it, but I'm going to quit carrying the spear around because I want my hands open, my heart open to receive all you have for me. It's time to lay your spear, that which has been thrown at you, that which you've thrown, that which you're holding on to, it's time to leave that at the altar. That's what altars are for. Altars were meant, they were sacrificial altars. They were to give glory to God, and you came and you offered up an offering. Lord, I'm going to give this to you. It's between Jesus and you right now. We don't come to church just to feel good and say, okay, I went to church. No, we come here to encounter God. And he took me here, and I wonder if he was able to help some of us be set free of spears. Spears we're holding on to, spears we're throwing, spears thrown at us. Just giving it to him. Handing your spear to God. and receiving the forgiveness, the peace, whatever it might be. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come, bring your spear with you, and leave it right here. Just come stand up front, and then I'm going to say a word of prayer. In David, God found a man after his own heart. God is still looking for men and women after his own heart. How he wants that of us, and how we want that set of us. Well, how can I know? How can I know if I have that kind of heart? Well, there might be many ways, but one way I can know if I have a heart after God's heart is, what do I do with spears? If I'd had time today, I could have a little project. We could have cut out some little, get some construction paper and cut out some pretend spears. And we could have passed out these little pretend spears to be emblematic if perhaps we have those spears going on in our lives. And I could have given you a pencil and said, okay, now, if God is showing you something that you've done, been done to you, said you need to let go of in that way, write it on your spear. Don't answer it loud, but what would you write right now? Oh, nothing. Or would the Lord say, remember? Hey, how about, come on, I got better for you. And I wonder what you'd write. I want you to kind of picture you doing that right now. And in a moment, I want you to picture just bringing that spear up, and you're going to leave it here. And that's what it's going to represent. You're going to actually say, God, I'm giving you that hurt, that situation, my throwing spears, whatever they might be. Come, lay them at the altar. Father, in this time and in this place, knowing that you desire healing and just getting rid of those things that get in the way of all you'd have, Lord, you brought me to set this before us. Lord, would you now speak to each of our hearts? Thank you that you're for us, not against us. You don't lay your finger on these things to condemn us. You want to see us set free from stuff. You want to see us just knowing the joy of forgiveness and peace and no longer just giving this world the kind of power we give it. Lord, search our hearts. Have we been envious of someone? Critical? Judging? Has there actually been some anger? Has there been attack? Have we attacked? Or for some of us, Lord, we sit here recognizing that there's been things said and done. Spears have been thrown at us. And we're sitting there holding it and wondering what we're supposed to do. Show us, Lord. Help us now to give it all to you. That I might receive and really rest in the joy of just trusting and being in sync with what you have for us. Lord, draw all you would in this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. If you identify with this, come on up. Terry will just lead us in a chorus, and then I'll pray for us. You got some spears to pick up when we're done. The altar is going to be full of them in just a moment here, or even now. And I don't know what each of you came up with. I don't know what it represents. I don't need to know. God knows. Whether it's a forgiveness for spears you've been a part of throwing, or spears you've gotten but chucked back at the other one, went into it, got into Saul mode, we're just sitting here holding something and saying, God, I don't know what to do with it. You come up and say, Lord, I'm going to do this with it. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving the circumstance to you. Whatever it represents, it's my privilege to pray for you. Father, thank you for the love we find in you, the grace, the mercy we have found in you. Thank you that you're not down on anybody. You simply set before us this deeper way, this better way of handling all these things we go through. So, Father, for those that are up here and saying, forgive me for throwing spears of gossip, hurtful words, forgive me for attitudes of criticalness, for those that are up here just saying, Lord, forgive me for the envy I've been feeling, the jealousy, forgive me, Lord, if I haven't been trusting your plan for me. Lord, touch, minister. Thank you for just the forgiveness that indeed you so freely pour out. That you stand there and say, I've been waiting for this. And you receive and you take and you give forgiveness. Help that one to really know. To know that you're God who forgives. Thank you, Lord. For the one who's up here and they had spears thrown at them, but have returned those spears again, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that you have. And in particular, Lord, for the ones that are, Lord, we stand here with spears in our hands, things that have happened, and wondering what to do with it, and everybody's telling us to throw the spear back, our flesh is screaming to get even, whatever it might be. Lord, instead, for those who have come up in front and saying, Lord, instead, I'm giving it to you. Would you help them right now to open their hands and just drop the spear. It's going to drop this attitude that, I give you my pain. I commit it to you, God. I look to your plan in this. Lord, by the Holy Spirit, would you help each of us to hand this to you and now receive the peace, the joy, all that you have instead. Forgive us, Lord. We've let these things rip us off. They've gotten in the way individually, maybe even sometimes in the body, Lord. So clear all that away, Lord. May you have the freedom to work innocent through us now. And we trade. We trade these attitudes, these spears for joy. We trade these spears of anguish and worry for peace. We look to you, Lord. To be all you can be, long to be, and will be as we open up and receive. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for each one who's come up front. Now, Lord, help it be a settled issue. They left their spears here today. Thank you for all we find in you. All glory to you through this. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't leave, because I want to say the next thing. And hear it, love. You just laid your spears down. Don't you dare pick them back up as you walk away. Yes, I laid it down. Okay, we're done now. I'm going to keep on. You, today, let's remember it. Today, what's it, May 19th?
Yes.
Today, May 19th, I left that spear at church. And they're sure to clean them up later. You come look and you're not going to find it. I left it here. And remember this day. God, I gave you that. And you watch what he does. Yeah. You watch what he does. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you. It appears Pastor Chris has something on his heart.
Before you go, what are we going to do with the spears? Well, we're going to give them to God. And I want to remind you what God did with the spear. When he was on the tree and he said, it's finished. I commit my hand, my life to you, my spirit to you, and died. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. You can't take it with you, because God took this spear into himself and gives you the cleansing of his blood and the life force of the Holy Spirit in your life. To conquer this, you leave it here. God's taking it, and he took it into himself. It's over. He gives you the victory. Walk in the victory he has for you. Amen.